Mark 7:39 is the invitation song tonight. I have decided to follow Jesus. If you're not a Christian or you're not a faithful Christian, I trust that when we sing that tonight, that it will mean more than just words to you, that you will make up your mind to truly follow Jesus as one of His. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, even the glory even as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 7 years of that time that's described in that verse, Jesus was a teenager. There's really nothing said in the Bible directly, historically speaking, about Jesus as a teenager. And yet I believe that there is something said in the Bible that helps us to understand what kind of a teenager he was. We have several in the audience tonight who are teenagers. And I believe it will be helpful to them. I believe it will be helpful to all of us to think about Jesus for just a few minutes as a teenager. We tend to think of him in the manger, in the garden, on the cross, in the tomb, at the Last Supper, in his ascension, and think about the time that he's going to return. But how much have we thought about those 7 years that Jesus was a teenager? In Luke, the second chapter, and I would encourage you to take your Bible if you have it handy, and there are Bibles in the pews. And those of you that are teenagers, if you'll get one about every third person there, if you don't have your Bibles, I think you can see. I want you to look at two verses, one in Luke 2 at verses, well really three verses, two in Luke 2 verses 41 and 42, and then over in chapter 3 verse 23. 41 and 42 of Luke 2 tells us that Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. Now that's about as close to being a teenager as you can be without being one. In fact, usually when you get to 12, you start saying, I'm 12 and a half, or I'm almost 13. Everybody wants to get to that teenage year. Jesus was 12 in this verse. Over in the third chapter at verse 23, it says, Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age. He had lived from age 12 through those seven teenage years and then a decade through the 20s, and now we see him at age 30. When we see him at age 30, as described here and more detail given in Matthew's account, we see him at his baptism and the beginning of his ministry. We see a young man at 30 years of age who submitted himself to God. Even though he did not need to be baptized for the remission of sins, as you and I do, he was baptized to fulfill all righteousness and to set an example and let people know that he submitted himself to his Father in heaven. And shortly after that, he met the devil in the great temptations. You remember the three? And answered the devil with the scriptures. And overcame the devil and did not yield to those temptations. And then almost immediately he began his ministry that would last for three and a half years. A ministry that I believe could be described by one basic word. And that word is service. A ministry of service. Including teaching and doing good as described in Acts chapter 10 verse 38. At age 30, we see Jesus submitting himself to the Father in heaven, ready to meet the temptations in life, and ready to be of service. I submit to you that he learned some of those things as a teenager. And during those teenage years and preteen years and the years that came right after the teen years, that he was preparing himself to be able to carry out his ministry. I think we've all heard the idea that he took 30 years to prepare himself to work for a little over 3 years in his great ministry. And perhaps as we see him at age 30, we get a bit of information that helps us to understand a little bit about him as a teenager. But I believe that it's in this latter part of the second chapter of Luke that we really see Jesus described as a teenager. He was 12. And it was the custom of his parents to go to Jerusalem, as indicated here, for the feast of the Passover. And the custom many times was to take the whole family, and whether or not Jesus had gone before this or not, I don't know. Whether there was some significance, at least there is in the Jewish community today, to age 12 of taking this young man with him to Jerusalem, I don't know and couldn't prove. But there is a strong possibility that he went at age 13 and 14 in some of these other years with his parents for the same purpose that he did at this time. But as we read on and come down a little bit further, you know the story of how his mother and father left and did not find him in the company, supposing him to be with them, and they couldn't find him with their relatives and their acquaintance. They returned to Jerusalem seeking him. And at verses 46 and 47, we have what I suggest to you young people is one of the key descriptions of what Jesus was like as a teenager. At least this is what he was doing at age 12. And when you read these two verses, you get the idea that this concept is not limited to point action, but it's describing a young man at this time and how he would be in the years later. It says that after 3 days, they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the teachers. I'm reading from the New King James Version. If you're looking at the King James, it's in the pews. It says the doctors. Those who were the learned people in the law, those who were the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Now here's a young man who's just a few days perhaps, or a few weeks, at least less than a year from his teenage years. And here he is with some of the most learned men, someone like Gamaliel, for example, who knew the law of God, the law that was in effect at the time Jesus was alive. And when his parents find him, they find him at the feet of mature, learned people who were able to teach, and it says two things. He was listening, and he was asking questions. Now, if you want to know how Jesus would have acted on Sunday morning in a Bible study class, or Wednesday night in a Bible study class, or in a service such as this, I think we have the answer. I sat back in the audience this morning behind our teenagers who sit here as a group. David had an excellent lesson, a lesson that caused all of us to pay attention, but some of our teenagers this morning were sitting there with their hands in their head in their hands like this and leaning out on the front of the seat and listening. And I thought of this passage when I thought of that. I thought of something else that's a little bit funny. I was preaching in a gospel meeting one time for a small congregation that was made up of black people. All the Christians were black. And they were in the custom of saying their amens and did in that meeting. But there was one elderly lady who sat on about the third seat over here to the right, and she never did touch the back of that seat. She sat right out on the edge of it, leaning over. And every time I'd make a point, she'd say, Not out very loud, but loud enough that it almost got my attention away from the sermon. She was listening to everything that was being said, and she'd sort of raise herself, and she'd say, Well, I think that's the kind of listening that Jesus was doing. I don't believe that any teacher ever had to call Jesus down in a class. I don't believe that any teacher would have to have even asked him to pay attention. You see, he had two things present when he had an opportunity to listen to God's word being taught. He had a desire to know, and he had the right attitude toward listening to the word of God. And after they come back and find him, and he goes with them, and they ask him about it, you remember that famous statement? Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? In one version at least translates that, know ye not that I must be in my Father's house? There is a preteen, just a few days before his teenage years, and he says, don't you know that that's where I need to be? Don't you realize that I need to be about my Father's business? I shared with the Sunday morning class this morning a little story of the little boy that was buying some new clothes. His mother was with him, and as he was trying them on, he said something to the sales lady, and said, won't these look nice in Sunday school? And she said, is that where you're going to wear them Sunday? He said, where else do you go on Sunday? His attitude was, I'm going to put God first. That was the attitude of Jesus as a teenager. He was listening. It's amazing how much we can learn when we listen. And he was asking questions if he didn't understand something. And the Bible says that these learned men were amazed at his understanding. He was in the process of learning these things. Of course, Jesus was the Son of God. We know that. But now he's the Son of Man. He's a teenager, 12 at this time, a preteen. And this is describing, no doubt, the attitude that he had for the next 7 years. He listened. He had a desire to learn. He asked questions. And he had respect for the message of God and for the messenger of God. Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? If we read on a little bit down in the second chapter of Acts, I think there's something else said that helps us to understand Jesus as a teenager. Verse 51. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. You know what kind of teenager Jesus was as far as his parents were concerned? He was subject to them. He respected his mother, and he respected Joseph, who was his earthly father as far as the family connections then were concerned. And he respected them in such a way and conducted himself in such a way that the next part of that statement is, his mother kept all these things in her heart. Now, all of us as parents are proud of our own children, and rightly so, and we're thankful for them. And we're especially grateful when our sons and daughters behave and act right and do good things. And that's not necessarily always making an A or being at the top of something. That's doing good things, being themselves and using their talents, and we're proud of them. We ought to be, at least, when that happens. Mary was a bit proud of her son. And she kept all of these things in her heart. Maybe sometimes didn't say too much to others about them, but she kept them in her heart. And Jesus conducted himself as a young man, as a teenager. Here we see him, you see, he went back and lived with them. That would have been his teenage years. He went back to Nazareth and lived with Joseph and Mary, and he was subject to them. He was the example of what Paul says in Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then what he says a little bit later, honor thy father and thy mother. And one of the reasons that he was like that is that he knew the Ten Commandments. And he knew that one of those was honor thy father and thy mother. Be subject to them and live in a way that your life honors them. That's the kind of teenager that Jesus was. Can you imagine Jesus talking back to Mary? Can you imagine Jesus as a 14, 15, 17, 19-year-old young man turning around and sassing his mother? Let me tell you something, if he had, we'd have a bigger problem than we've ever witnessed before, because under the old law, that would have meant stoning to death. And Jesus lived without sin. Therefore, coupled with what is said here and with that principle, we know that Jesus had respect for his mother. He not only loved her, he had respect for her. And he had respect for Joseph. He was subject unto them. Now, I believe we could stop the lesson right here and we'd have a pretty good description of Jesus that would be an example for us. Because when you find a young man or a young woman who respects the Word of God and those who teach it, to where they will listen and even be desirous of knowing more about it and ask questions, and a young man or a young woman who will respect and honor their dad and mother and be subject to them, and you've got a pretty good example of a fine young person if you stop right there. But this chapter doesn't stop there. It continues, in fact, with the word and. He was subject to them, his mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased, very familiar verse, in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. When did he do that? As a teenager. If he was 12 when he went with them to Jerusalem, and this is describing what happens after that, this has to be including his teenage years. Not limited to that. In the case of Jesus, and in the case of all of us, it should be, it would have continued into his 20s and into his 30s through the entirety of his life. But I want you to notice here, we're looking at him when he comes back to Nazareth at age 12, And then in the next few years, he's living his teenage years, where many of you are tonight. And here's what it says about him. He increased in wisdom. He had respect for his mind. If Jesus were a student out at Chester County High, I'll grant you he would never say to any teacher, "What good is there in this class? Why do I need to study now?" And I suspect that if Jesus were a student at Freed Hardeman, he might be better prepared for finals than some are. He realized the importance of the mind. He realized the importance of increasing in wisdom. He realized that life itself is an education, that even if one is not in the classroom, he is still learning, and there is something to learn. He increased in wisdom. And you see, even as a teenager, the evidence is in this chapter that he was able to make some very important decisions. That he had the wherewithal in his thinking to where he could make some very important decisions. And then it says he increased in stature. He took care of his body. I don't know what Jesus looked like as a teenager. I don't know what he looked like as a baby. I don't know what he looked like when he was on the cross. The Bible doesn't give us any description of his physical appearance. I don't know whether or not he had acne. I don't know whether he faced some of the other problems that teenagers face today. But I know one thing. He was interested in keeping his body pure. I don't think they had cocaine back then. But if someone had offered him something like that, what do you think he would have done? And I'm just as sure as I'm standing here that Jesus faced some of the same temptations that you young men and young ladies face today relative to love and companionship and intimate relationships. And the reason I'm convinced of that is it says in Hebrews 4 that he was tempted like as we are in all points. He was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I don't know whether he had a voice change somewhere along there or not. But I know that he developed from age 12 through those teenage years. I don't know the ones that were his friends. We don't know those until later in life. But the fact that he had some very close friends later indicates he probably had some very close friends as a teenager. And the fact that he associated with families that included the man and the two women, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, indicates that Jesus was interested in men and women, would have been interested in friends with boys and girls when he was a teenager. And he may very well have had someone say, "Come on, let's do this. Come on, let's get involved in this." That would have violated the purity and the sanctity of his body. And I know what he said if he were asked that. Because he didn't yield to temptation. And he may have had somebody come along and say, "Well, come on, and here's something we want to try. It'll give us a high." If he did, I know what he said. Because he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus has never asked us to do anything that he didn't do himself. As far as principle is concerned, I don't believe you'll find any area in life of temptation. And it would be so easy today for teenagers to say, and wherever we are in life, we can say the same thing. Well, if Jesus had to meet some of the things I'm meeting today, he would not have lived a sinless life. Yes, he would. Because he did meet some of those things. At least in nature and principle and concept, because he was tempted in all points like as we are. Yet without sin. And he increased in stature. He kept his body pure. And it was not until the cross itself, when the nails went through his hands and the spear into his side, that his body was broken. And even then, his mind was clear enough as he was dying in pain that he could ask forgiveness for those that were putting him to death. As a teenager, Jesus respected his mind and he respected his body. And then it says he grew in favor with God and man. Let's take the latter of those first. One translation says he won the approval of God and man. Another one says he was loved by both God and man. I appreciate all of the lessons that are brought at 5:45 on Wednesday nights by our young men, our young college men. And I've noticed one thing that is present I think perhaps as much as anything else that's mentioned, it has to do with friends. How important our friends are. How helpful they are to us. Jesus had some friends as a teenager. I don't know who they were. I don't know how many close friends he had. I don't know what the relationship, I don't know exactly how they went to school, how they did a lot of the things you and I do there in Nazareth as he was growing up, but I know that he had some close friends, and I know he developed friendship, and I know he developed respect from all ages because he had the love of all people, and he had the approval of all people. And then it says that he had God's approval. He increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He lived in such a life that he lived such a life and in such a way that he had God's approval. And he knew he had God's approval, just like you and I can when we do God's will. We go to bed at night and we've lived a day, even though we make some mistakes and have to ask for forgiveness and fall short, we know that when we hold on to this Jesus we're talking about, that we can have that peace of mind and we can have God's approval. I believe that's the kind of young man that Jesus was as a teenager. Now you think about what that says. There's really six things said here in this passage that made him develop through those teenage years and then through those following 10 years in his 20s to where at age 30, he was ready to submit himself to whatever God's will was for him in that period of his life. He was ready to meet the devil and overcome temptation, and he was ready to give himself literally in a life of service and then in his death. I believe the indications in this very chapter we're studying as to why. He respected the message of God and even the messenger. When he sat at the feet of those learned men, he listened and he asked questions. He was subject to his parents. He had respect to his dad and mother, and never one time could he bring himself to talk back or to sass or to fail to obey or to fail to honor his dad and his mother, his earthly father and his mother. And then he had respect for his mind to keep it clear in thinking, for his body to keep it pure in reality. He had respect for people to the extent that during these years, that's what it's talking about, just after age 12, he had the approval and the love of people, and he had the approval and love of God. We've talked about imitating Christ, and certainly we want to imitate him, and maybe most of the time when we're thinking about that, we're thinking about imitating what he was in those years between 30 and 33. I say to you young folks tonight, those of you that are teenagers, imitate Christ when he was a teenager, because this is the kind of young man that he was. And I'll guarantee you, if you'll live your life, you won't live the perfect life like he did, none of us have. But I'll guarantee you, if you live your life like he did, with respect for God and respect for parents and respect for people and respect for your mind and your body, that's really what all this sums up. That you'll have a better life here and promise of that life yonder. Jesus was a teenager. 7 of his years, a little over 1/5 of his life, he lived as a teenager. The glory that we beheld that's mentioned there in John 1:14, it refers to his entire life. Over 1/5 of that was as a teenager. And he left an example that no one can question. And based on that tonight, we encourage you as teenagers, we encourage all of us to live like this. Respect God. Respect your parents. Respect people. Respect your body and your mind. And live like Jesus did as a teenager. And I believe if you do that, that you'll want to be a Christian. You want to live as a Christian. If you've not been buried with him in baptism, you'll want to come tonight. If you need to be restored, you'll want to come tonight. Jesus set a great example as a teenager. What an example. What an example to follow. If you're not following it, come as together. We stand and sing.